Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I know in the last week or so I've been, I don't know whether hammering is the word, but I certainly have been speaking a great deal about making sure that your intentions and your motivations are right. And we slip on that, all of us, every one of us, so don't be disturbed by that. We find ourselves starting out with a laudable motive of serving God or expressing our love for God or whatever. And then we quickly find ourselves taking great pride in something as though we were the origin of it, or we become more selfish, or whatever the case may be. It's we in some, this is probably a strong term to use, but there are ways in which we worship ourselves. And so putting God into the right place is a real process. We can start by saying, that's what I want. That's what I want, is to put God in first place in my life. But it's a battle to get there, because we are focused, as you know, I've often said to you, we worship the unholy trinity, which is me, myself, and I. And so it's a process of turning ourselves around by God's grace. That's the important thing. We can't do it on our own, but by God's grace, we can put him into first place. So just keep asking, Lord, no matter what I say, think, or do today, I want you in first place. And when I fail, just please remind me in a way so that I can take a moment and say, Lord, I don't want this for myself. I really want it for you, for your honor and for your glory. So just want to encourage you here. Don't become overwhelmed and say, well, I'm too selfish, or I'm too self-motivated. That is, I'm the beginning and the end of whatever I do. It's in us. I know that. But it's God's grace that changes us if we're willing to say, Lord, help me here. I want you to have the honor and glory. And oh my goodness, when we do that, it puts all kinds of things into perspective and into a right place in our own hearts. So I really want to encourage you. Don't be depressed, discouraged, or whatever form it takes. Don't be that when you say, oh my goodness, I start out on the right track and 5 minutes later, I'm back on me, myself, and I. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. You don't have to be upset with yourself or anything like that. Just keep working at it, because God is pleased by your effort. And he will reward that effort. So just keep focused on him. Let's take a look at the first reading for today from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Now, we can't do that by ourselves. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, whatever this group is, Lord, form us, shape us into this particular expression of the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us to operate in you, with you, through you. You'll be amazed what God will do. Do nothing out of selfishness. Do nothing out of selfishness. That's a pretty hard one, isn't it? But just repent as soon as you recognize it. Or out of vainglory. In other words, you want to be honored. You want to be recognized. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves. Because we don't know, do we? We think that whatever's on top of my list is on top of God's list. Maybe not. Maybe God has other priorities for you. Maybe he's caring for other people in your midst that will help you to see the truth about yourself. Who knows? So what we need to do is humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also everyone for those of others. If we really operate, brothers and sisters, out of putting others first, it's amazing. We run into some funny situations. I've been in in situations where somebody will say, well, what do you think is best here, or what do you think we should do here? And and I might say, well, let me hear from you. All of that is fine. It's fine to do it. But sometimes you can get just caught in a realization we're all trying to put ourselves into second place, and we're all trying to get God into first place. And that evokes a lot of laughter, but it also evokes a lot of joy. That, okay, I am really in a group here where we're trying to put God first and me second. And it's fine to do that. Just also, if you think God is calling you to something, really calling to offer a talent of yours, it's fine to say that, to say, I will offer what I have if that's helpful to you, rather than, I think I'm the key piece here. Don't do that. Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also everyone for those of others. Psalm 131 tells us, in you, O Lord, I have found my peace. Why? Because my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty, I busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. Nay, rather, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child. I am a child of God. That does not mean to return to babyhood, but it does mean, remember when you're a child, how you look at your father or mother, you kind of take your signals from them? Well, apply that. As a child of God, keep my eyes fixed on him. Take my signals from him. Practice it. You'll be amazed when you give God a chance to say something. Sometimes there's nothing, and then you go ahead doing whatever you think is best to do. But sometimes a thought will come into your head, and you say, oh, never thought of that before. Pay attention to it. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. And he said to the host who invited him, when you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. He's saying, don't look out when you invite someone to something. Don't look out for what you could get out of it. Do it simply to serve and to make another happy. Don't look for reward. If it comes, blessed be God, but don't look for it. Don't let that be part of your motive. And it'll be there. You'll feel it there. But say, nope, I'm going to do this because I know God wants me to do this, or I believe God wants me to do this. It's a reorienting of your thinking process. But if you do, you allow room for God to act. And there's nothing better than that. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Think about that. God never forgets. God knows every detail of your struggles, your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your fears. Things that have caused you anger and frustration and pain and loss. He knows it all. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, so do what is right. Do what is right. Don't give in to vindictiveness. Don't give in to revenge. Don't give in to hatred. It exposes you more to the enemy, who then can work his evil way in you. Say no to it. And say, Lord, you're my Savior, you're my defender, you're my defense attorney, you're everything for me. Help me here. Show me what to do. He does not fail you. I love a little commentary made by a bishop from a diocese in Italy. He's the founder, he's the former superior general of the priestly fraternity of St. Charles Borromeo. And I want to read with you something that he said that I think is very important. He writes, Poverty is born from the discovery that I am another's. In other words, I don't belong to myself. I exist because I am loved in an individual way by another, that is God. My being is from first to last totally relative to Him, though not without the mystery of my freedom. If I am the work of another, capital A, nothing is mine because everything is given to me by Him. To be poor, then, is to use each thing according to its ultimate end, placing the expectation of one's good not in the possession of this or that thing, but in the realization of the kingdom of God. When we do that, we use, appreciate, and love each thing without turning it into an idol. See, we receive joy from certain things, and so then we make those the things that we pay most attention to. They're idols, because God should be at the center of our lives. So you look to God to supply. When they become idols, persons and things cease to be ours. They are like objects that irreparably break to pieces in our hands. In a correct relationship with things and with other people, we do not refuse them the esteem that is their due. For example, you do not deny the value of a person if you are friends with him. At the same time, however, one does not expect from them the fulfillment of one's own life. Someone might be very good to you, but you don't put your hope or your trust in them. It is in the kingdom of God that things and persons find their proper place. They're gifts from God, but they're not the source of our happiness. They're not the source of our future. You understand how easy it is to make things humanly we can grasp as into idols, because this produced this or that produced that. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Through this stripping, you know, when you got to let go of certain things, however, an endless joy comes to birth. For when we live poverty, that is, I'm not the source, we discover that we are lacking nothing, since everything is given to us. Poverty is the recovery of authenticity in our relationship with things, the authenticity in which God placed man at the dawn of creation and at the dawn of the new creation, that is the resurrection of Christ. Poverty teaches us how to use everything without being used by anything, without being slaves of anything. We are people, he says, who have nothing and yet possess everything. Takes it from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, that last point. Brothers and sisters, we want to be rich in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of this world. Make that your first priority. If God gives you riches in this world, use them for His glory. The author of this reflection is Bishop Massimo Kamisaska. Really encourage you to reflect and ponder this particular little reflection, little meditation. It can be a source of enormous good, brothers and sisters, for us. May God bless you and lead you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.